Our passage for today is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that we are in word, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present." Many Christians look at false teaching that exists today in the church and heresies that exist today, and they say, if only I could have lived 2,000 years ago, if only I could have lived in the early church, in early Christianity, when the church was pure. Well, anyone who thinks that has probably not been paying attention to the New Testament, because from the beginning, right from the beginning, the church was plagued with false teachers all the time who were trying to come into the church and overturn the teachings of the apostles, overturn the teaching of Christ, and give their own brand of Christianity. In fact, I won't say most, but a large, massive chunk of the New Testament is written by the apostles because of false teaching in the church. So many of the letters that Paul writes and that John writes and that Peter writes is because there was false teaching in the church, and they are writing to correct it. And that's what's going on now in Corinth. In Corinth, there are some false teachers who have entered the church. And some people, or many people in Corinth, have followed after them. These false teachers obviously are trying to take over the church. They're promoting themselves. They're people who are quite eloquent and quite powerful in their speech, and they're trying to show themselves off and promote themselves as being quite powerful and spiritual. And in order to promote themselves, to try and gain control of the church, they have to diminish Paul's authority, because Paul is the one who started that church, and his teaching is what that church used to hold to. And so in order to get rid of that and present their own positions, they have to speak evil of Paul, which is what they have been doing, and accusing him of, he's not powerful and spiritual like us. He's kind of weak and timid. Can't have a guy like that being your leader. You need people like us. Now, Paul can't stand self-centeredness. He can't stand people who say, look how great I am. Because this is what these teachers are doing. They're trying to say, you got to follow us because look how awesome we are. You can't follow Paul. I mean, he's just this quiet little gentle dude over there. And Christianity is not about man. It's about God. It's not man-centered. It's God-centered. It's not self-centered. In 1 Corinthians, because this was a lingering problem in the church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul had said to the Corinthian church, what do you have that you are not given? Think about that. What do you have that you are not given? Answer is nothing. And then he says, well then, how can you boast as though it was not given to you? Anything that you have, any abilities that you have, you cannot boast about them because they were given to you by God. Paul can't stand people who boast, who think that they're so great, because he knows he's a sinner saved by grace, and we're all sinners, so no one can pretend that he's something greater than he actually is. Paul can't stand boasting, and he can't stand people who are like that. But here's the problem that Paul finds himself in. Here's the tricky situation that Paul has found himself in. Paul has to defend himself against these false accusations, okay? All these people are saying, don't listen to Paul, listen to us. We're the true teachers. And so now Paul has to say, no, no, no. Don't listen to them, listen to me. And so that puts him in a position that he hates. How can he present himself as the real deal without somehow boasting and saying, no, 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 I am the true apostle of God, not them. So as we go through these next few chapters, there's a number of times where Paul actually says, I hate to have to do this. Please forgive me for saying what I'm going to say now. You know, just bear with me, because I have to say some things. You know, he'll do that over the next few chapters. But of course, his boasting is very different from the false teachers' boasting. But we'll see more of that as we get into chapter 11, which is fantastic. So, what Paul is going to be doing in this short passage for today, and much of the next few chapters, he's going to be contrasting himself with the false teachers. And he's calling on the Corinthians to return to him and his teaching and to the true gospel and get rid of these people who are teaching rubbish. Okay? So, verse 7, he starts off and he says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? That is probably not a good translation there. I'm sorry. I got to do a little translation thing here because that's just probably not that good. How should it be translated? Well, probably it's not even a question. It's probably not even a question. It's probably just a statement. In the original Greek of the New Testament, there's no punctuation marks. There's no question marks and full stops and exclamation points and stuff like that. It doesn't have any of those things. And so in Greek, sometimes, if you just have the sentence, you're not 100% sure if it's a question or just a mere statement of fact. Okay? You don't have this in English. In English, it's different. But let me give you an example. Most of you know Greek. Let me give you a really quick example, okay? Look at this sentence here. Se lene... Whose name should I put? Stavroula. Stavroula. Not putting anything at the end. Is this a statement or is it a question? If I put that, Selene Stavroula, it means your name is Stavroula. If I put a question mark, it's a question. Is your name Stavroula? That's not how it is in English, but that's how it is in Greek. And so sometimes it's not 100% clear whether it's a question or if it's simply a statement. And here it's probably a statement for many different grammatical reasons. I'm not going to get into them right now. So number one, it's probably a statement. And second of all, if I were to translate this word for word, Paul says, look at things according to the face. That's literally what he says. Look at things according to the face. He's not asking, are you looking? He's saying, look at things according to the face. Look at things at face value. Look at things as how they are. Look at the facts of the matter. Okay? That's what he's saying here. And you'll say, well, why would he be saying look at the facts? Because there is a battle here between the false teachers and Paul. They're saying, don't trust him. And he's saying, don't trust them. And so he wants them to look at the facts of the matter. He says, let's think about this. Who's right? Am I right or are they right? Okay, let's make a judgment here as to who is the correct teacher. Okay, Paul is asking the Corinthians to make a judgment on who they are going to follow. They have to decide because they're not teaching the same things. So who are you going to follow? They have to make a judgment. And let me say this quickly about making judgments. Too many people have completely misunderstood Jesus' words in Matthew 7:1 when Jesus says, don't judge, lest ye be judged. Okay? People read that, completely ignore the context, completely ignore everything else that the Bible says, and they say, oh, well, I guess we're not supposed to judge. But Jesus, in that passage, is talking to hypocrites who like pointing the finger at people and saying, oh, you did that sin, you did that sin, when they themselves are actually doing far worse things. And so he says, what are you doing? Who do you think you are to judge other people? Don't judge. You're going to be judged because you're even worse than them. Okay? That's what Jesus is talking about there. Jesus is not saying, never make any moral judgments whatsoever. Okay? That's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's insane. Everyone makes judgments all the time. You can't live without making judgments. Okay? If anyone ever says to you, if you point out evil in the world and someone says, don't judge, you realize what they've just done? They've just judged you. Right? They've judged that it was wrong of you to judge. Okay? You cannot not judge. We all make judgments all the time. Even if something happens and you say, I'm not going to make a judgment on that, you've already judged that, well, this situation is not important enough to make a judgment. You always make judgments. And since we have to always make judgments all the time, we have to do what Jesus said in John chapter 7, where he says, judge with good judgment. Judge correctly. Not based on outward appearance, not what seems fine. Look at the facts and judge correctly. Okay? Paul here is saying to the Corinthians, these people are no good. And you need to make a judgment and see, are you going to listen to what I've been telling you, or are you going to follow them? This is like Elijah with the prophets of Baal. Remember that? Elijah calls the people of Israel, who have been kind of, we'll just kind of follow both. And he says, no. Elijah says, if the Lord is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. Choose today whom you will serve. Choose one. You can't have both. And the people answered him, nothing. Do we really have to choose? Yes, you got to choose. Make a decision. Who are you going to follow? And so Paul is saying, you need to follow someone. Which teacher are you going to follow? Are you going to follow these people? Because our decisions have to be not on who has the most powerful personality, who's the most good-looking, who's the most eloquent. That's not how you make a decision on who is a good teacher or not. The question is, we have to have an objective standard to know if someone is teaching correctly. Is he following scripture? Is he preaching the gospel correctly? Is he going in accordance with the character of Christ? Who is aligned with these things? Who's more like Christ here? Who's teaching what Christ taught? Is it them or is it me? And you have to follow that teacher. Look at the facts and make a decision. That's what he's asking them to do. So, he says, look at things as they are, basically. In the middle of verse 7, he says, if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. It seems that these people, these false teachers, were saying, we are Christ's. Now, in other places in Scripture, when the Bible talks about someone being Christ's, it simply means that they're Christians. But that's probably not what's going on here. It's probably more than that. They're probably not simply saying, well, we're Christians. Everyone there said that they were Christians. Probably what's going on here, they're claiming to belong to Christ in some superior way, superior, super special way. We are the ones. We are Christ's men. Okay? Later on in this section, Paul is going to say that these people claim to be apostles of Christ. He's actually going to ironically call them super apostles. Oh, they're the super duper ones. He's like that all the time in these few chapters. And so these people are probably saying, we're the super duper apostles. We are Christ's men. You need to listen to us. And this is another thing that Paul can't stand. When Christians, there's this thing that exists, that existed then, and it exists now. When there are some people who tend to think that they've reached some kind of higher level in Christianity, that they're on a different level than everyone else. Look, all of us have different gifts, and all of us have different roles to play in life, and all of us have different levels of maturity. But I'm not more of a Christian than you, and you're not more of a Christian than me. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You either have eternal life or you don't. There's no second level, higher level Christianity, like, oh, we're the real ones. There's none of that. And sadly, there's a lot of people. You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm sad to say it. But this exists in many places. But the place that it's most frequently an issue is in Pentecostal churches. It just is. I'm sorry. It is. In many Pentecostal churches, if you don't speak in tongues, you're a lower level Christian. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. But if you need to reach this higher level than the rest of us. Of course, this creates the us and them mentality. There's us who are up here and you down there. You're a Christian, but you're not as spiritual as us. And Paul attacked that like crazy in 1 Corinthians because the Corinthians were doing the exact same thing. There were actually people there who were speaking in tongues and thought that they were so much more spiritual than others because you can't do it. And Paul talks about that and he says, absolutely not. He says, yes, we have different gifts, but we have the same spirit. We have the same baptism. We're all part of the same body. You're not better than me because we have different gifts. We're all different, but it's the same Spirit that gives to us all. Remember, we are all sinners saved by grace, every single one of us. So we need to be careful about boasting as to how great we are. So Paul is speaking about these false teachers who thought that they were so special. I like how he words it. He says, if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's. In other words, he's implying, well, this isn't based on any fact. This is just what they consider this in themselves. They think that they're special. They think, well, I'm Christ's. Well, he says, well, so are we. he doesn't get into his credit. He could say, remember what happened with me, how I was a Pharisee who was persecuting the church and Christ appeared to me on the road and everyone knew stories, Paul's story. He could have talked about how God commissioned him and did all these miraculous things through him and now he sent him to the other side of the world to preach the gospel. They all know these things. Paul started that church. Paul lived with them for like a year and a half. They know very well what Paul's credentials are. And he could have just said, well, these false teachers, they don't know what they're talking about. We're the true ones. He just says, they say they're Christ. Well, so are we. He just leaves it at that. You know who we are. You know that. Verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. Paul is going to be talking about boasting a lot, because this is something that the false teachers did. And so he's contrasting his boasting with their boasting throughout these chapters. And he says, if I should boast, he doesn't want to boast, but if I should boast in the authority that I have, the authority that God gave me, for building you up. If I should boast, I'm not going to be ashamed of that. Like, really? What's he talking about here? Here's the point. How come there was a church in Corinth? Oh yeah, Paul started that. Okay? Paul was the one who was sent there by Christ. He preached. People were converted. He started the church there. God sent him there. Christ actually appeared to him. When Paul first got to Corinth, it was so bad that he wanted to leave. And Christ appeared to him in a vision and said, don't go anywhere, stay here and preach here. Okay? Christ put him there. Christ gave him a job and Paul did it. Okay? And Paul would rather not talk about his authority. He would rather not talk about what Christ has put him there to do and the authority that he has given him. But he says, if I have to boast about the authority that God has given me to build you up, I'm not going to be ashamed of that. Because it's true. It's true. Look at the facts. The only reason that there is a church in Corinth for these false teachers to infiltrate is because Paul started it. Okay? And so he's like, you know, they're boasting, oh, we're so great and Paul isn't. And he's like, really? Remember who started that church? Look, if I had to boast, at least my boasting would be true. I'm the one who started that church. These people have come in and they're saying, oh, look how great. Forget the guy who started this. We're the great ones. Paul is like, if I were to boast, at least my boasting is correct. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. God put me there and I did my job. In verse 9, notice at the end of verse 8 there's a dash. And then he says, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. There's probably a missing thought there somehow. probably what he's saying, I don't want to boast about my authority too much, lest I terrify you by the things that I write. So I won't do that. But speaking of my letters, look at verse 10. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. They accuse Paul. Here's one of the clearest places where we can see what they were saying about him. They're accusing him of being inconsistent. When you're away and you don't have to confront anyone, oh, you sound fantastic, Paul. But then when we're actually in person, you're kind of weak, timid, and quiet. You're one thing when you're away and you're another thing when you're here. And we talked about this a lot last week. So I'm not going to get into all the details, but Paul was not weak. Paul was wise, and a wise man knows that he has to deal with each situation accordingly. You can't just be yelling all the time, and you can't just be quiet all the time. Each situation requires a response accordingly. Let me give you a couple of examples. I want to give you two examples from Paul's life. And you tell me if this sounds inconsistent. Okay? Let's think about this. Let me give you the story, something that we read about in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about how he went with Titus. Titus was a Greek friend of his, a fellow worker in the gospel. And they had gone to Jerusalem together. And there were some people in Jerusalem who said to Paul, you need to have Titus circumcised. Because he's not circumcised. And Paul said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He said, we did not give in to them for a second. I said, absolutely not. We're not doing that. Okay? That's the one story. Second story. Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he meets this young man named Timothy, who is uncircumcised. And Paul says, I want to take you with me on this missionary journey with me. And Timothy says, okay. And before they go, Paul says, but I think we need to circumcise you. And circumcises him. Is Paul inconsistent? I've given you the bare minimum. What if we look at all the facts? See, this is what matters, looking at the facts. Okay? In Titus's case, what was the problem? They go there, and the people who said, you need to circumcise Titus, they said, you need to circumcise him because that's how you're saved. You're saved. You need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You are saved by the grace of God alone through faith in Christ. If you're saying that he needs to do this in order to be saved, we will not do that. That is heresy. In order to do, if I said okay, Paul's like, if I said okay, if I gave into that, I'm basically giving up the gospel and saying, oh yeah, we need to circumcise him. And he's like, absolutely not. We did not give in to them for a second. Now jump to the story with Timothy. Timothy, his mother is Jewish, but his father is Greek. So he hasn't been circumcised. And Paul is going to go on his missionary journeys. What was the first place that Paul would always go when he would go to a new city? The synagogue. He would go to the synagogue because here are people who know the Bible and are waiting for the Messiah. And so he wanted to go in and say, the Messiah has come. Let's look at the scriptures. There is absolutely no way that they would accept an uncircumcised man to go into the synagogue to start teaching with Paul. And so Paul says, you know what? Circumcision doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. So if this will open doors for us to go and evangelize Jews, Timothy, let's circumcise you. And he says, all right, let's do it. Okay? It has nothing to do with the gospel. It has to do with opening doors to go and evangelize. Okay? This is not inconsistency. This is wisdom in knowing in things that matter, in things that are a matter of life and death, we're going to be solid as a rock and we do not move. But in things that don't matter, who cares? Let's circumcise you. Who cares? It makes no difference. Okay? This is not being weak. This is not being inconsistent. This is being wise in knowing how to deal with each situation. When Paul was away from Corinth, and things were bad in Corinth, he would write a forceful and angry letter. You need to fix this. But when he was there, if things were quiet and good and calm, he was quiet and good and calm. There's no reason to yell if things are going fine. Now that he's away and he finds out that bad things are happening, he starts yelling again in his letters. And he's like, I'm not inconsistent. Look at verse 11. He says, let such a person, that's a person who thinks that I'm only forceful in my letters, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. You want me to be all-powerful and forceful and angry in person? Oh, I will be, if this is still going on when I get there. I'm not being inconsistent. I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm exactly the same, whether in letters or in person. But I deal with each situation accordingly. And if things are so bad when I get there, you'll see the other side of Paul. What's the point of the passage? Something that we're going to see on and on as we go on. He's saying you need to be careful about who you follow. You need to be careful about who you listen to. It's not about the one who just says that I'm the right one. I remember one time I was speaking with a Greek Orthodox person, and he said to me, well, we're the true church. It's right there in the name, Orthodox. Really? I can name my church the one and only true church. Does that mean that I'm the one? You know. It's not about whoever says, well, that's me. We need to look at the facts. And it's not about who looks good, who speaks well, who presents himself better. It's not about who's more eloquent, who has the most degrees, because there's a lot of heretics out there with degrees. It's not about who's more attractive and more powerful character. We need to have objective standards as to who the good teachers are. Who's preaching the gospel correctly? Who is teaching the word of God? Who is displaying the character of Christ? Who's wise and consistent in his character? And Paul says you have to choose correctly. This matters because false teaching will destroy your soul for eternity. But correct teaching will save you and build you up. So this matters. Let's pray.